How to pray.
Do you think you know how to pray?
No.
How many think they've got a really, really good, strong, effective prayer life right now in your particular situation? You got it. Anybody? Okay. All of us are short in our prayer life, you see. Brothers and sisters, while you are adults, you're not kids, you're adults, okay? You have to start to have a prayer life. You have to. Not maybe, so forth. There is no way, if you're going to know Christ as a spirit, if you're going to grow, if you're going to be transformed, you have to have a prayer life. You have to, okay? Just start where you are. And just start to work a little bit, stretch yourself a little bit. The first verse is very appropriate. It says in Jude 20, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith," which is really, we could substitute God's economy for that phrase, most holy faith. Then it says, build yourselves up. And then it gives the way, praying in the Holy Spirit, you see. To be built up, you have to spend some. You got to log time in the prayer closet. Mm-hmm. You got to spend some time praying. Sorry, if you say I can't pray, that's wrong. If you belong to God, you can pray. If you say, "Oh, I'm so bad," okay, confess your sins. That's prayer. "Oh, I feel so angry," okay, tell the Lord you feel so angry. That's prayer. "Oh, I'm just so down, cast down." Just tell the Lord, "Lord, you know the way I feel. I just open to you. Even that's the way I feel. The blood gives me the boldness to say to you, honestly, that's the way I feel." That's prayer. And you'll see. You'll go, even in that one time, you'll go from thinking you had nothing to pray to praying about really several critical things about you and others. Okay, know how to pray. Building yourselves up. Oh, I like this word, building up yourselves. 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul told Timothy, "I exhort therefore, first of all," not second, not third, not 12th, "first of all," that. And he really threw all the things in here, petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings, all these is to pray, okay? "Be made on behalf of all men." See, praying for all men. So here I would like to emphasize that it's the first thing that Paul emphasized, and that it was comprehensive, that when we pray, we have to be open to every person. Because actually, this is in the context in 1 Timothy 2 about, in verse 4, it says that God wills that all men be saved and come into the full knowledge of the truth. So prayer is good. You know, we view a person, we look at them, we dismiss them. Yes, no, maybe, really, we should have a kind of concept attitude, no preconceived idea. Just pray. See, pray. See, because it says pray for all men. And verse 4 says they would all be saved and come into the full knowledge of the truth. Just pray. See? So we need to pray, expand our prayer to pray like this, okay? This is not necessarily all done in your closet, but some of it is. But you meet people all the time that secretly you can pray inwardly to yourself. Pray for people you're with or around or things like this. Just say, "Lord, how about this one? Lord, do something here. Lord, stop this and turn it around. Lord, come in and show yourself in this situation. Lord, we need you to come in here." Keep praying. You see, the scales might be unbalanced against you and against the Lord, but by praying, you start to add weight.
Yeah.
And at some point, it tips the scale, and God acts. See? Okay, where are we here? Okay, all men. Then 1 Timothy 2:8a says, I desire therefore that men pray in every place. So this covers not only that prayer is good for all men, but that prayer is good for all places. You know, there are still existing Christians who are thinking God answers and God prefers places of prayer better than other places. If I'm in a certain place, he's nearer there than some other places. But in the New Testament, not so. The place is in Christ, and the place is also in our spirit.
Amen.
And the place is also called the Holy of Holies, and it's wherever we are, wherever we go, and when we turn to our spirit, that's the place. So we can pray in all places.
Amen.
Pray walking down the hall. Pray in the car. Just pray. Don't analyze your prayer. Just pray. Open up to the Lord. You know, call on His name. Groan a little bit. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just contact You. We love You. We need You. We want You. And then, boom, you have a consciousness. Lord, I'm sorry about this word I said today. Forgive me. Good prayer. And then a burden will come. Lord, strengthen so-and-so during this time.
Yes.
Good prayer. So you can do this in every place. Then 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, unceasingly pray. That's when to pray, and that's at all times. So it's all people, all places, and all times. Unceasingly pray. Don't stop praying. Does this make sense to you? This has always given people a real problem, how they can unceasingly pray because they have so much work to do and their mind is so occupied with work and whatever it may be. Mothers have to be occupied with their children and husbands with jobs and students with school and all kind of things like that. So it's not that we are engaged at officially praying at every moment. It's just that we are in an attitude of prayer at all times. If somebody said, stop everything, see, and that had the authority to do that, said, stop everything, we want to have 2 minutes of prayer, you just would have no problem to pray because you're in the essence of prayer. And as soon as you get out of whatever is occupying you, you just revert to prayer. Lord, I'm back out of this class. Lord, I'm with You again. What are we doing now? I'm one spirit with You. Here we are. Amen, Lord. I'm open to You.
Okay,
then we just stay before the Lord.
Amen.
Pray continuously.
Amen.
See, without ceasing. Okay, then in Acts 10:9, Peter, they were journeying and drawing near to the city. Peter went up on the housetop to pray around the sixth hour. It's not possible to really say that Peter always prayed at the sixth hour, but it is interesting that the Bible notes that he prayed at the sixth hour, meaning that he possibly could have used this sixth hour time as a set time to pray. Anyway, whether this is that or not, experience throughout the centuries shows that all the saints need a set time. And the best time is the first thing you do of each day. Okay? That's the best time to pray. Don't face your day without contacting the Lord. Everything changes when you touch the Lord. Okay? And here, Peter went up in one way and got a vision about the Gentile, or, you know, the unclean things, and didn't know what it was all about. And then the Gentiles were at his door because they'd been sent by the Spirit to Peter's house and took him away to Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile. And Peter saw the situation and did the unheard of thing. He preached the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles who were not supposed to be a part of this thing. And so he changed it all. But none of this would have happened, I think we can presume, if he hadn't have gone up to pray at the sixth hour. He got in a condition to do these unheard of things.
Mm-hmm.
that brought the Gentiles into the body of Christ. So prayer really changes things big time. Then Philippians, and nothing be anxious. Well, we can skip this because y'all do not get anxious. Right? In nothing be anxious. Nothing. In nothing be anxious. But in everything. Whoa. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. What a good attitude. Yeah. Believing. Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. He gets your burden, you get His peace. That's what it amounts to. Which surpasses man's understanding will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. You want to make that swap in your daily life? Your burden for His peace? He wants your burden. It does not bother Him. Do you want His peace? He gets the burden and you get the peace. This is the right way. Okay. Then finally, John 15:17 and 8. Great chapter in John about the vine tree. And he says in 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. In John 4 he said, and I abide in you. Then in John 7 he changed it to my words abide in you. Ask whatever you will. Think of that. And it shall be done for you. This is in the context of the vine tree bearing fruit. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will become my disciples. Now, if you pray for fleshly, worldly, selfish, common, non-spiritual things, we can't guarantee this promise. But if you're praying, if His words abide in you, this puts you in the right condition and the right feeling to have. And in that feeling, burdens will come to you. And when you pray these burdens to the Lord, He will answer that prayer. Do it His way and you'll get a lot of answers. Abide in Him and let His words abide in you. And you'll turn into a part of the vine tree that will bear much fruit and glorify the Father. Don't you believe that would be good? Fruit glorifies the Father.
Yes.
You know, someone said one time, well, I don't know if it's so good if I bear fruit because I might get proud. So forth. What do you think of that? You don't need a spiritual answer. You just need a physical. Say, if any tree that's bearing fruit, that has a lot of fruit on it, those branches hang lower to the ground. So you're not going to be proud. No. The fruit will humble you in many ways.